Should I tell Terry we were on the air at some point? When should I tell her that?
Oh, like right now? You can tell her that.
Okay, yeah. We're on air, but thank you for all the help. And thank you, Al John, for putting us on the air.
Hey, you're welcome.
I didn't even think of a heavy metal band yet to talk about.
I know, right? It's been a minute. We got to get our legs back. It's okay.
Did I tell you saw Alice Cooper and his beautiful eyes? I already told that one.
Did you?
Yeah.
About the Alice Cooper. Well, we're getting right. I think Alice Cooper's coming back to Nashville, and I'm going to try to make that show.
So. Well, I'll have to sell him more dress shirts.
Let's do it. Welcome back to Pro Wrestling Cast, and it is the WrestleMania post-Markamania edition of the program. A week removed from WrestleMania, and the afterglow is starting to fade, but we're getting ready for the Superstar Shakeup. And while we are here shaking things up on our end, we want to make sure that you help us out because we provide this show for you for free. We want to make sure you support the show by going to ProWrestlingCast.com. Not only will you find the archive of shows there in webcast and audio form, you're also going to find great deals through Amazon. Just simply click our link and start shopping away. It's just like you would normally do. Just before you do that, just click our banner, because every time you shop and click our banner first using our Amazon link exclusively on our website, Amazon kicks us a few bucks back for everything that you purchase, just to make sure that they know that we all appreciate your patronage, you know, and support of the show. So go ahead and do that right now and bookmark our banner if you'd like in our webpage at ProWrestlingCast.com and support our show. You'll also find links to High Spots, WWE Network, WWE Shop, and so much more. So please go ahead and support our show by using our affiliate links. And now on with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time, I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion of this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Now can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome back. My name is Al John Goh, Pro Wrestling Cast co-host. I am the lifelong wrestling fan, broadcaster, joined by the heel commentator and wrestling historian, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
They have dropped almost a full year of Mid-South episodes, 81-82 era. I'm ecstatic. I decided to cancel the network. I canceled the network sort of as a sort of, you know, a sign, you know, like this is a sign, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I read, they dropped a bunch of Mid-South. And I was like, shit. So I ran and quickly resubscribed without a free month. I just hurried up and paid them. These are nice. The powers they hold over me. guys, we've talked for 2 years about the Black Glove Ted DiBiase. We kind of joke about it. Mm-hmm. You really need to check out heel Black Glove Ted DiBiase from Mid-South. It's almost as good as Ric Flair. I mean, he's really awesome.
Yeah, he's very good. And the classic content is great. You know, please check it out. And you can, hey, if you need to subscribe, you know, I changed using a different credit card, so I got my free month, surprisingly enough. So I'm going to get payback for free, too.
Well, I think they know me through the Roku player or something, because I'm Roku'd out, as you know. I have,
yeah, just you and I both are Roku'd out.
I've just got all these Rokus, and I just get annoyed, and I just pay them.
Well, that's okay. As long as they keep on coming up with the great content, that's awesome. It's been a few weeks since you and I have shared the same space together. It's great to finally have you back on the show to talk some wrestling. Before we get started into our breakdown, let us talk about the promo of the week that we're actually going to start first this time out with our good friends, the Hardys. The Hardys made their triumphant return during WrestleMania 33. Amazing. So we're going to talk more about that, but more interesting is the fact that in the time that you and I last spoke, the Anthem Entertainment Group is actually trying to keep the gimmick, claiming in a court of law that because it was created under their watch, that they have full rights for that gimmick and it cannot be used without infringement.
Disgusting. By Matt
and Jeff Hardy, right?
Yeah, disgusting. They hate the fans. They've always hated the fans. The Hardys came up with everything. Reby wrote the song. They never paid Senior Benjamin, who they said he couldn't use his name or likeness. I mean, that's just a guy. He doesn't know what they never paid the guy for his stuff. I think if they really wanted to, they could. I mean, Ring of Honor got scared and wouldn't put them on as the Broken Hardys, and WWE didn't either. But I think if WWE wanted to, they could get the gimmick from them. They probably want a little bit of money for it, if I had to really guess. But they're just a hateful company. It doesn't really matter who's running it. And now that TNA has lost, well, what are they called now? They're not called TNA, right?
Impact. Yeah, they're called Impact.
And so, okay, so Impact's central angle is now based around Bruce Pritchard.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. So basically, so what you're saying to me is you are going for Conrad's podcast listeners, correct?
Must be.
All right. Well, then you're in trouble. I mean, kudos to Conrad. He went from Flair. I don't want to get sidetracked like I do, but, you know, Conrad had the Flair podcast. He quits it. By the way, the Flair podcast said in February, don't worry, more Flair podcasts are coming soon without Conrad. And then they didn't say anything after that for 2 months. The guy's a mess. Then Conrad has Pritchard. He was smart. He knew what Flair would do. Mm-hmm. He got Pritchard. Now he's got Schiavone. The Schiavone show is my favorite. And now you got Conrad and Pritchard, and TNA, or whatever they're called, is trying to grab those fans? I haven't. What is it? What is the feud? Pritchard and... What? I mean, it's just garbage.
Well,
it's just garbage.
Yeah, right now the feud is with Josh Matthews. And
that's right. I couldn't remember the incredible announcer's name.
Yeah, Jeremy Borash. It's
pondering. And I like Borash. You know I like Borash. I'm not. Yeah, it's nothing to do with him. It's to do with...
They're fine. They're fine. And we understand that this was a, you know, remember how we were talking about, you know, Josh Matthews over the past couple of weeks getting some heat because of comments. Apparently that was the beginning of that angle a couple of weeks back. And now,
I mean, I don't care if it's an angle or not. It made me hot. I mean, don't start talking about being a great announcer when you suck.
Well, I don't believe he sucks, but I will say this. There has been in this before we play this broken or before we play the Hardys, they're not.
We're going to get sued.
I know we're going to get sued. You know, there's half of the roster has practically picked up and left. Aaron Rex was the latest, a.k.a. Damian Sandow. He was the latest to leave.
Well, what the hell did he do? And what the hell did he do? He did nothing.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch. I mean, and then you have Zack Ryder breaking up with Emma, and then all of a sudden is dating, you know, someone on Impact. You know, I mean, it just, you know, Laurel Van Ness, that's who he's dating now. I don't even know who's
Zack Ryder.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that.
Who's that? That sounds like a Nazi name.
Yeah, Laurel Van Ness. She is the the girl playing the whole wedding dress angle thing, you know, with before Maria and Bennett left, you know, all that stuff. So
another boy, did they blow the Bennett Maria? I mean, they blew that. Mike Bennett could have been all this. She's awesome.
Yep.
She can cut a promo. She looks great. And they blew it and they blew it and they blow it and they blow everything and they blow it. And then they blow it for the fans and take away the Hardys. They'll have broken Matt. They'll just change and, you know, that's his angle. That's two guys getting really high, allegedly, and coming up with ideas. That's all that is. That was the best stuff on TV last year. I hate them. I hate TNA.
Yeah, well, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on right now. I mean, well, with Impact, we can talk a little bit about that later, and we might have to wait until next week's program to put that on, as you know, the Knockouts division has kind of gotten replenished a little bit, you know, with the addition of Madison Rain, Angelina Love is, I guess, back in action. ODB, their active roster is quite interesting. Because, you know, like I said, half of their roster is gone, you know, and you're leaving with, you know, guys like Lashley and Bram and Cody Rhodes, or just Cody, simply Cody.
Cody's going to be in the G1.
Yeah, EC3 is also there still, you know, I mean, so, and they brought back Don West, you know, so.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm getting on my knees and praying to God to help me. They're telling me he's back?
Yeah, Dutch Mantel, you know, is there in the show. I mean, it's a very interesting show.
I like Dutch.
I've not been a fan of what necessarily is going on, and that's under the watch of a, you know, Jeff Jarrett. You know, first of all, I'm not a big fan of, you know, I'm not just regurgitating this. I'm not a big fan of announcers, angles, but that's what they chose to do to set up, you know,
right,
this change of direction. And, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. So,
yes, it's a very, very silly company. They had something great. They should have did anything they could to keep those two. They didn't. They lost them. Now, just like with AJ Styles, they're going to antagonize the crowd and antagonize the wrestler because they didn't get what they wanted to. You know, it makes me wonder if this was all Dixie's fault before. Maybe there's just some sort of strange aura about it, that like a curse, like the mummy's curse, like the mummy. And then they turn dumb.
Who knows? But I tell you what, let's go ahead and play this Hardys promo from WWE.
Okay.
Post their return at WrestleMania. It was a big surprise, a shock to everybody, as Rebe tried to do a little swerve, telling everybody they're at the airport when they just happened to be getting ready to be released to the world once again in their old Hardys gimmick, with a few interesting crowd chants thrown in there as well. So, let's go ahead and play that, and we'll be right back. Your Pro Wrestling Cast promo of the week brought to you by Magical Journeys Vacations. You're getting ready to take that cruise. You're getting ready to take the family out for a trip down to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal. Please do yourself a favor and click our link to Pro Wrestling Cast's link to MagicalJourneysVacations.com, and there you'll be able to save time and money, and that's what it's all about. You'll have the best time of your life by booking your trip with MagicalJourneysVacations.com. Just ask for Kristen for a free quote today. And now, here's your promo of the week.
Pro Wrestling Cast, promo of the week.
WrestleMania 33, Orlando, Florida. We are back home. I left here in 2009, and to return on this night and to win these championships is beyond belief to me. Man, I'm so proud of myself. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of our families. I'm proud to be home.
Yes, you said indeed, my brother. We are home. And the journey was amazing. It was unbelievable. And for it to all culminate in winning the Raw Tag Team titles of the world, we came here and we procured the most prestigious tag team titles that there are. And to be here and do this beside you at the biggest WrestleMania in history, the biggest company in history, our home, World Wrestling Entertainment. I can't explain how wonderful it is. It's just absolutely delightful.
And I'm 39 years old, and I can still jump off a 14-foot ladder.
Oh, how cool is that? And you jumping off that ladder, crashing through those 2 hours, was absolutely wonderful. But you know what the best thing of the whole evening was? We deleted the club's tag team title reign. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently holding for further traffic clearance.
Check out Kristen's new website, MagicalJourneysVacations.com, for all your vacation needs. Disney, Universal, cruise lines, and more.
Thank you for traveling with us.
MagicalJourneysVacations.com.
Have her book your magical vacation today.
WrestleMania is behind us. How about the Hardys? How about Kurt Angle? How about the Hall of Fame? There's so much stuff to get into. Steven, your first initial thoughts before we break things down on WrestleMania, was it a buy for you? Did you enjoy it? Did you have fun?
It was a really good WrestleMania because I was probably, you could probably say I was a little negative.
Just a little
bit. In my recap of WrestleMania, and I had some negative thing, and I did want to apologize to all of our fans for calling them internet pieces of shit. That was not nice.
My wife is hearing this, and she's like, what happened to Steven? And I said, I think he has very low expectations for WrestleMania initially.
He's retrogressing.
And I said, just wait. I think he's going to like, you know, at least he's going to give it at least a 65%. You know, I mean,
I give everything a chance. I didn't like the buildup. And by the way, since we're on air, I might as well say it. Terry wanted me to thank Kristen. She was so delighted by her visiting her. So delighted by that, by the way. She wanted me to tell you.
Delighted. That. Delightful.
It's delightful. It was a delightful visit. They both work in an undisclosed location, but
that's right.
In a Parts similar unknown. Location. Never mind.
That's right.
Yeah. So please, God, don't come where we were. But okay, what were we talking about? Yes.
Well, we're talking about
WrestleMania.
And one of the things I'm gonna go ahead and get this out of the way really quick is that it's been a rough couple of weeks for Ross.
Oh my God!
As we all know. Probably one of the top two, if not my, and you know, all of you know that Jim Ross is my favorite. I mean, Gordon Solie is right up there. Don't get me wrong.
He's the man.
Do it, say, don't get it twisted. But in the terms of one of my favorite announcers and my favorite era in the 90s, Attitude Era, being just so etched in my memory, Jim Ross was there. He was the voice, and the fact that he had lost his wife in a tragic accident and still was able to get out there, do all of his appearances and call WrestleMania that no one knew. I didn't see coming. To call Undertaker's last match was just amazing. So kudos to Jim Ross. And kudos to the announcing team too. Mauro Ranallo had been out over the past few weeks dealing with some personal issues, personal health issues. I wish him all the best. I know that you're not necessarily the biggest Mauro Ranallo fan, but...
Well, I'm not a fan of getting bullied into submission when you have mental problems. I mean, that's not very nice. You know, if that was a real company, they would suspend him or fire Bradshaw, Layfield, whatever his name is.
Yeah, it's funny how that works out because, you know, AJ Mendez, a.k.a. AJ Lee, released a book and so did Justin Roberts in the same week. And there has been numerous accounts of that type of bullying by Bradshaw. And, you know, I can appreciate Bradshaw for the Legends with JBL segment, his time to sit down videos. I've always been a fan of his and commentary. Hello, Michael. You know, that kind of stuff.
Michael.
The commentary has been pretty solid on JBL, but backstage shenanigans dating all the way back to Joey Styles and having Joey Styles knock Bradshaw out several years ago, kind of proving
tremendous.
Yeah, tremendous. Kind of proving the point of, you know, I can't stand it. I'm not going to take it anymore. Literally pulled the Owen Hart and like clocked him in the face. And
Owen Hart or Bret Hart? You mean Bret Hart?
Well, I guess what was it? I can't. Yeah,
Owen would like have his cars, the tires off his car taken off, and would be stranded in the ghetto.
That's true. And pulled a Bret Hart. So, but what I'm trying to say is, you know, mental illness is no laughing matter, and the fact that the WWE and AJ's book had wanted trying to force her to do these skits and all this, and then all of a sudden, you know, Mauro Ranallo gets bullied and, you know, had to take some time off, and the same goes for numerous other talent that is on record. You know, that's just not cool. I mean, be a star, Bradshaw. Be a star, WWE. Stand by some of the superstars and know that there should be a zero tolerance policy for any of this crap.
Well, the fact of the matter is they're not a be a star type of company. They like to talk about it, but the fact is they've always been pro-bullying, The hierarchy of the company itself is built on bullying. The boss bullies people like Jim Ross and has bullied wrestlers for years, has intimidated them. I just read an article on the website Deadspin about the FBI having, you know, McMahon on file, intimidating and threatening wrestlers like, you know, Jerry Graham and the Captain Lou, you know, people like that. And I've always been negative about the company itself, but not the wrestlers. And I stand by that because I think there really is deep inside something wrong with the company that's very weird. And this is a great example of it. A bully at work, you know, I used to be that way at a place I used to work years ago. And you become kind of like their henchman in a sense because you know how to get something out of people by applying pressure. And when you apply that pressure or that style of bullying to the type of person who has perhaps a bipolar and or, you know, just a, you know, manic depression, even a slight disorder, it can really send them into a tailspin. And he was bullying him about, he said, some internet poll. Well, I mean, that was the Wrestling Observer. And yeah, that's your internet type of marks. But really what it is the wrestlers and commentators from around the world voting, and they voted Mauro. So, of course, he starts bullying him, and, you know, the natural McMahon reaction is stick up for yourself, pal. You need to get it. And, you know, and it really is sad. I would think that Mauro would go back to doing New Japan on Access because Jim Ross might leave. So maybe that'll end up okay. I liked him more on Japan anyway. I mean, they got Don Callis doing it, but Don has not impressed me thus far. And I love Don Callis and Lance Storm in their podcast. Loved him as the Jackal and as Cyrus. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see that happen for Mauro because if you're working for a bully, you got to go. You cannot do that when you have that frame of mind. It won't work. It'll happen again. And you can't risk your sanity. And they're sad that they let these things happen.
Well, you know, the other thing that could happen is Mauro can just simply do some of the, you know, the other programming that is available on the WWE network. Cause honestly, I really appreciated him and Daniel Bryan calling the CWC. And I think that he and Nigel McGuinness would do great at NXT. I think that they would be great at the European TV show that they're getting ready to do, or the women's tournament that they're getting ready to do on the WWE network. So there's a lot of work to be had by someone with his skill set where he doesn't need to be with JBL. But I will say,
stay away from the guy. He's a nut. Guy's a nut.
I tell you what, having though during the snowstorm a couple weeks back, having a two-man booth in SmackDown was actually quite refreshing. You know,
well, two-man is always the way to go. Two-man's the way to go. Add a third person for an hour here and there is good, but two-man's the way to go. You know, we're all going to look at Jim Ross and Jerry is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they did it so well for you.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, it you know, while we're talking about announcers, they didn't have Jerry Lawler come in with the Hall of Famer, you know, with JR. But it was quite interesting to hear. Now, if you go back and listen to WWE's WrestleMania 33, and you listen to the Undertaker Reigns match called by those two, it's interesting that both of them kind of had to make sure that no matter what happens in an announced team, someone's got a lead, and you have to make sure that there is respect to be placed there, you know, by Michael Cole for JR. And then JR knows that, you know, he needs to step back because he's playing second fiddle to Michael Cole, which is
I did find it a little distracting. Is that what you're getting at?
A little bit, yeah, just a little bit. They're trying to find their legs because apparently Jim Ross didn't know that any of this was going to happen before the show, didn't realize that he was getting ready to call the main event, and then he didn't realize it was Undertaker's last match. He kind of when he realized it, he kind of freaked out. If you listen to his podcast, he'll tell you all about it. But
yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah.
You know, but if I had to guess, I would say the Undertaker made that happen too. I think, first of all, the thing that happened with Ross's wife is really the saddest story I've heard in a long time.
It is.
I got pretty choked
up.
I'm
sorry. If you don't know what happened, Jim Ross's wife had been, I think, just a few blocks from just leaving, I guess, for grocery shopping or something on a Vespa. And someone had pulled out. They were driving a truck and pulled out and hit her, knocking her off her Vespa. Of course, she was not wearing a helmet, and then she ended up having some type of a brain swelling and was forced into a medical coma or something of that nature, and that she wouldn't have a lot of her mental capacities upon her, you know, if she was able to come back from it. So it's just a really, it was a really sad thing, you know, and JBL pointed it out on SmackDown Live on Tuesday before WrestleMania, and to see him continue to do what he did after, you know, his wife's passing, and listening to him on his podcast, and, you know, people talk to him about it. It's just, it's very heartbreaking, you know, after so many years of marriage, and, you know, it's just a very sad thing.
Well, they were really tight, you know. That was the type of wife you have that can really back you up when you're in a stressful, tense situation, you know. And that was their relationship, from what I understand. She was a great person. Everybody knew her. When he tweeted out, you know, it was just really sad. I actually got choked up, which I rarely do, you know. I'm a man of steel.
Right.
But that one really did upset me a lot. That was because, you know, I can imagine, I couldn't even, and to get up and he goes to work, my God, and he goes to WrestleMania. Now look, if I had to guess, I think, like I was saying, I think the Undertaker set that up. They knew it was going to be there. He did sign a 2-year contract, which is outstanding. Mm-hmm. But I think, cause I think he needs that. I hate to say it. So for all the, I was sitting next to old Terry here and I said, God, how are they going to end WrestleMania? They had a lot of the Hardy thing. They had this, they had Cena. And I thought, what if The Undertaker retires and Jim Ross is the announcer for it? I thought, now that's how you could end it and have Reigns go over. And that is what they did. I did not see the Hardys thing coming by a mile. I don't know why. But I did see that coming. And I wanted to say this.
I think I mentioned it on the show that it could be a possibility. But I think we all said that it would be post-Raw or be the Raw afterwards.
My prediction is all over.
I think you mentioned that they would be swinging by at least a month later, you know?
Well, all of my predictions sounded like shit in retrospect, but whatever. But my personal ones did. But except for the one where I guessed that the Aro and Sheamus will win. No, but I got to tell you, that was a great way to end it. And The Undertaker, I'm gonna say something here, and it might shock all of you. And I've always said that my favorite wrestler was Stan Hansen in All Japan, which is true. Terry Funk, which is true. Ted DiBiase in Mid-South, Dr. Death. But if I really thought about it, the guy I've been a mark for the most and for the longest time is The Undertaker. Because I stopped watching wrestling, you know, 93, 94, 95. Hey, those are not good years. But that Hell in a Cell match he did with Michaels, I happened to catch a couple of glimpses of it, and I said, hey, this son of a bitch is pretty amazing. And, you know, at the time, it looked like he was getting older in his days, you know, and I just can't believe what the guy's accomplished. The fact that his career looked like it was going to end around 2000 or 2001, mm-hmm. and then he had that wacky title reign in 2002, and things were looking down for him, I thought, as a performer. The fact that he started having a string of 4- and 5-star WrestleMania matches 10 years after that, pretty amazing. Pretty fucking amazing guy. And the way he's an incredible actor. He is an incredible actor. Look at how he played the, now we think, well, that's The Undertaker. Well, that's not The Undertaker. That's a guy named Mark. Okay? That's right. Some guy named Mark. That's not really The Undertaker. He's not really that. And he has to play that character. Look how he does the end of the way he, I told, and you, I asked this bitch next to me. Wow. When he took, I said, if he takes off those gloves, watch this shit. And sure, when he started taking off his gloves, but I'm such a mark, and I remembered how much of a mark I was for him, because it was a sad, sad moment for me. Nobody's saying that. Mm-hmm. I was so sad that The Undertaker was retiring. This guy's so incredible. He's been doing this for over 25 years, and the way he did it, the way he took off the look back, the kiss on the wife to break kayfabe, all of it.
Yeah.
He's so good. More people need to say that. He is so good.
Yeah.
He is a tremendous actor.
He is. You know, he created the character. He never broke kayfabe until that night, kissing Michelle McCool ringside after he'd taken off his gear. Now, that's the thing, right? He takes off his gear. He's no longer The Undertaker, so he broke kayfabe.
Right. So now he's Mark Calloway.
That was Mark Calloway riding off into the sunset and then going down and into the ramp to parts unknown with the smoke. And when the smoke clears, there's his ring gear still there 3 hours after the event. It's still laying in the ring. Who's going to take that ring gear, man? Holy smokes. But amazing.
Kalisto.
Kalisto took it.
Oh, you weren't asking Kalisto me. I don't know. Wouldn't it be funny if Kalisto said, I'm taking this. Nobody's taking it.
I'm taking the gear, man. I'm taking it. That was a memorable moment. You know, you and I had talked about how low expectations were for WrestleMania being match rate. That's the internet mark term. I hate using that term because I don't want to sound like, you know, the people that rate matches, the Dave Meltzers in the world, surely, you know, they've made a career out of it and they know what they're talking about. I just look back and I say, if you want to look at amazing matches, check out Wrestle Kingdom, check out New Japan. You want to check out moments Please. That people will remember for the rest of their lives. How about this Undertaker moment? They will remember that. You'll see, you know, you'll remember where you were when you saw the Undertaker retire, and it just broke my heart, the fact that I was in Orlando and I couldn't attend WrestleMania, you know, that I was on my way back.
I didn't even know you were in Orlando then.
Yeah, I was in there for work, and I really wanted to go to WrestleMania, and I saw a bunch of people there. I ran into the Young Bucks. I told you that.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
So I was in Orlando, and Friday after work, before we headed home, I went to Disney with my wife, and I almost wore my Young Bucks t-shirt, almost, that I got from Pro Wrestling Tees, which you can click on if you want on our website. But I'm just wearing this, and then we go out to dinner, and we ran into the Jacksons hanging out.
Were they in TGI Fridays?
We're not into Fridays. No, they weren't into Fridays.
I watch their show Being the Elite, because as you know, I watch YouTube like it's TV. I watch Being the Elite religiously. It comes, I get a notification and I just watch it on the TV. I love Being the Elite. It's a fantastic show.
It's really cool, man. So, you know, it's awesome. It was great to meet the Young Bucks there at the park, and they were really nice. I said, "Hey man, big fans." And they're like, "Hey man, thanks." And they were nice. You know, it goes to, you know, I ran into, you know, a lot of different wrestlers here and there. I mean, whether it's a Becky Lynch during Christmas here in Nashville, because she lives here now, apparently her MMA boyfriend lives here. So they're here.
Oh no, Jesus.
Yeah. So
Becky Lynch, that's exciting. Is in town.
Yeah. I ran into Zack Ryder and Emma when they were still dating before she broke up with him. So that was interesting. But Undertaker getting back with this was pretty awesome. So let's run down our highlights.
Let's do it. You
know, I thought that it was what I had expected with the main card. You know, the pre-show was what it was. It sucks that the Cruiserweight Championship happened in the pre-show, but I feel sorry for everyone that's on the pre-show. I mean, you look at a guy by the name of Dean Ambrose, who was there with Baron Corbin for the Intercontinental Championship, and you look only a year removed from the draft. You know, Dean Ambrose was drafted number one by SmackDown, and look, he's relegated to the pre-show. You know, I mean, that's how.
Do you want me to bring it up again? Do I have to bring it up a fourth time?
Well, look, we talk about
on three shows of, yeah.
Right. We talk about the Steve Austin podcast, how it kind of derailed Dean Ambrose's push, and that's what happens, you know. And then they try to rehabilitate him, and it just couldn't happen. And notice there are no more Steve Austin podcasts in the future as a result.
Wow. No, he did a tremendous job on the podcast. I thought he did really good. His little promo he cut for Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did real good.
You'll go back and listen to it.
He should go get caught up with bandsaws or whatever he was doing in CZW.
But I will say this, you know, as we look back on it, AJ Styles defeating Shane McMahon was actually a really serviceable match. It was pretty good. It wasn't bad. It was
good. That was the best match in the show, It wasn't the best moment in the show.
Right.
To me, that was Shane's way of saying, I'm going to have the best match in WrestleMania by technicality. Some of it was really good.
AJ Styles, for heaven's sake.
I mean, AJ obviously said, hey, listen, enough with the fake-ass punches. Just lay them in. And some of his punches still look like shit, but some of them looked great. And AJ was really stiff in the air. It looked like he gave him a couple of either receipts or, you know, whatever you want to call it. It was a good little stiff little match. AJ's, you know, Tanahashi said that AJ Styles was the best wrestler in the world. Now, I think Okada's the best wrestler in the world. Sorry.
Oh.
You can't just keep having five-star matches every month.
Well, like Tanahashi's also one of the boys, Steven.
Yeah, but Tanahashi knows. He's going to want to say a Japanese wrestler instead of an American one because Tanahashi is racist.
You would think.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. No, Tanahashi's going to tell the truth because he stands for what's right. If there was ever a baby face in this whole world, it's Tanahashi. He knows how to play a real baby face.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, don't get me started about Japan. Okay, so...
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Shibata's mustache. No. Kurt Angle against... No. Okay. AJ Styles, as usual, pulled off the best match of the card with a guy who is not a wrestler. That being said, Al John, I'm bringing that phrase back. Shane McMahon is the shit in a lot of different ways, though.
So, Kevin Owens defeated Chris Jericho for the U.S. Championship. We did see that coming. Jericho still made out like $1 million.
Look good.
The big old entrance. My God, what a huge ramp. 85 yards that ramp, Steven. 85 yards.
That was ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
That was like a Ray Guy punt.
Oh,
you get
God.
It? That's a 70s NFL punter joke.
So, great match. Being slotted second, knowing that they have to build this like an album, you know, moving forward, is quite difficult. I think
like Bang Tango dancing changed. On the coals, you know.
I think I probably would have changed the order of the matches, you know, but you know, they're trying to put the championship matches closer to the end, and I get that. So, you know, that's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do when you look at the entire show. The women's match was better than I thought it would be.
Oh, my God. Hold on now, John. Now, hold on.
Which is fine.
Hold your horses there, Padna.
Yep. Yes.
This disrespect to Sasha Banks just continues. You know, you throw her into the turnbuckle. Boy, I got pinned. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous to do that to her. I mean, and this is what's sad. You know, my wife cried 4 times during WrestleMania. That's true.
Okay.
Time she cried.
Okay.
Can you guess the 4 times? My wife's very sensitive.
Oh, can you guess the 4 times she cried?
Terry Duchesne. I mean, Terry Barsinger cried during WrestleMania.
So Terry probably cried during the Undertaker retirement.
Okay. Right.
She may have cried during the John Cena Nikki Bella proposal.
Correct. Right. 2 more.
Just knowing her. And she probably also she may have cried maybe the Hardy Boys returning.
No, maybe. No, that makes me sad that you guessed that. No. Okay, let me just tell you.
I know. I'm looking and seeing, and maybe she cried at Brock Lesnar defeating Goldberg.
Well, that's a strange guess, too. No, she cried during Jim Ross's introduction, too.
Oh, well, of course. I'm looking at the card here.
And she cried, and I'm so good at this. You'll see how good I am at podcasting when I reveal that she cried during Bayley's big title win at WrestleMania, her big moment. Yes. See how good I am? I brought it back to where we were.
Good job.
Thank you, everybody. That being said, I thought they did go with getting rid of Nia. Okay. Why are you smiling like that? I thought they did good job of getting rid of Nia. I do like your hat, though. It is good.
Oh, there you go. The Mick Foley? Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Now, this is Smart Wool, so this is, you know, it's a whole different thing. No, but cock measuring contests over hats. But
nice.
They shouldn't disrespect Sasha. And by the way, the Jericho Owens match, I know you just said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was just a little short, but I guess they did the best they could do. I think Jericho's the MVP. I mean, well, AJ's the MVP and Jericho's the MVP at Raw. And I know he'll be gone for a little bit, but and I know he's going to do another pay-per-view match and probably lose again, but Jericho's the man, dude. Jericho is the man.
Jericho is the man.
You got it.
There is no doubt.
Yeah, so so I was sad, and I'm glad Bayley had her moment, but this just, I don't know why she didn't win it here for the first time. Whatever, Bayley had her moment. We saw Bayley a year ago in person. Didn't she come up to me and you?
Yes,
she was trying to get over Carmella when she came up to me and you, wasn't she?
I don't remember.
I bet Carmella, you should be a fan of hers too. And we're like, hey, hey everybody.
I got my picture taken with Carmella and I tried getting a picture with Bayley and it didn't happen because she went the opposite way on the way out. But she came to
the
us.
The security guards rushed in. I'm kidding.
Station guy, don't let him near Bayley. Don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was great.
Asian guys. We've seen that on Twitter. She likes Asian guys. I've seen her Nakamura stuff. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so the thing is that they wanted to keep the women in equal footing moving into WrestleMania so that they all looked like they had a credible chance of winning the championship. And although I kind of understand that logic, I think it would have been better for it to get the moment. There are ways to make Bayley look strong. If you end the match in a schmoz, all of a sudden, you know, because of interference from X, Y, and Z, Bayley still wins, but doesn't win clean. And it's not because she didn't do it. But then, of course, you make her out to look like she cheated to win the championship. Well, why did you have to be a title match? You know, at that point, it's like there's so many different things in the buildup, but that's neither here nor there. I will tell you, moving on with the Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys.
How can we not guess that would happen? How can we not guess that they would be in a ladder match? It was obvious they were leaving. They have this goofy ladder match set up for no reason. How can we not guess?
I know, right? Hardy Boys defeating Luke Gallows, Anderson, the Glanderson. who are the champions, the club, versus Cesaro and Sheamus, which was awesome to see the entire outpouring of the WWE universe during that. Enzo Amore and Big Cass for the Raw Tag Team Championship with the Hardy Boys coming out to the biggest pop ever that I've ever heard.
pretty much. Since Goldberg in 98, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you had the New Day come out as the host, and they come out, and they say, hey, by the way, we've got another tag team, and then I knew the Hardy Boys were back. But then a lot of people, casual fans, are like, okay, so maybe the New Day is going to enter the fray. And lo and behold, the old Hardy music kind of, you know, Van Halen intro kind of comes in. And then all of a sudden, there they are, man. Hardy Boys in all of their spandex glory coming out.
Yeah.
You've never heard a arena chant delete so loudly in your entire life.
Let me say two things. First of all, that's a little disrespectful to Van Halen to say that. Well, and also,
it sounded like Panama. You know, it always sounded like Panama.
That does not sound like Alex Van Halen to me. I'll let you know when it sounds like Alex Van Halen drums. Okay, I'll let you know.
Everybody wants them.
First, to let you know.
Everybody wants them. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I want some too. Is that what you want me to say?
yeah. Yeah,
hey, we need to talk about. Why don't you play the live version of it from that '82 bootleg?
Okay,
that's awesome. That's God, awesome. Dave was so awesome in '82. My God,
the rock and roll talk.
Okay, well, stop. The other thing I wanted to say was you said biggest pop ever, which is kind of funny. And then I thought, well, Jesus, wait a second. There was shoot like 65,000 people in there for real. Okay, And that was a huge pop by almost everyone, but that's such an enormous crowd to get that type of surprise pop. You might be right. That might be the loudest volume pop ever. It might actually be.
That's the loudest I've ever heard, you know, for an outdoor stadium, you know, and WrestleMania 3 got pretty damn close. You know, seeing Andre and Hogan battle it out, that was huge. That was, you know, that was legendary. Yeah, and then you hear them, you know, but the entrance pop for the Hardy Boys and then Smarkamania Raw afterwards, my God, was it loud. I mean, I literally went back and saw this intro like four or five times on video just so I could listen to the crowd levels and see how everybody reacted. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It was something to witness for sure.
That was a stunning moment. And I thought, wow, shit, they had Bayley thing, and now the Hardys come out, and they opened with two pretty good matches. Jeepers, creepers, WrestleMania's not bad. All I have to do is end it good, which they did too. So this was another, God, they really did put the card together really good. You know, I did not like WrestleMania last year.
No, well, WrestleMania was full of problems.
The best thing about WrestleMania last year was that sausage you guys made. That was the best thing last right. year. You remember that sausage?
I remember the really sausage, yeah. We had dinner at our
place. But that was the best thing about it. But honestly, Aljon, it wasn't that great of a match. But even though they cut every match to, 2 minutes each? Jeff Hardy still was able to take... Jeff Hardy's a dangerous individual, man. He will do some risky shit, buddy. It's risky business to be Jeff Harvey.
Yeah, it is risky business.
Did you hear that? I combined two joke imitations at once. Dusty Rhodes plus Mike Adamley in one phrase. That's that was very difficult internet mark. That's difficult that internet mark joke to do.
I got it.
I give it 2¾ stars, and the Hardy Boys are awesome, but I hope Matt can play the broken character because he looks old if he doesn't.
Well, I'll tell you.
The only thing you got to say negative.
Well, you got. Well, it looks like he may be reverting to a Savage Matt Hardy gimmick that he has been kind of testing out. John Cena, Nikki Bella defeating The Miz and Maryse, probably the best buildup of any feud. Next to Owens Jericho over the past few months has been this. Believe it or not, I mean, The Miz. You heard last week The Miz doing a killer promos week after week. Cena stepping it up. Nikki Bella kind of stepping it up in her own way. But the Miz, this is the year of The Miz, and the match is what it was. You had, intergender, rules for the tag match, and it was serviceable. I mean, it's a 2-star match to say the least, but
maybe
if that, but it was what it was. It's all about the proposal, getting to the proposal and seeing Robo Cena, propose with that huge ring on Nikki Bella.
Jesus
Christ.
Wow,
that ring.
The ring, my God.
What kind of ring
is that?
Yeah, it looked like an asteroid is what it looked like. It was huge.
Okay, let me add. I don't know a lot about jewelry, which is ironic. Mm-hmm. But, because I buy a lot. But do you think that ring costs over $1 million?
Oh, I would say at least $1.5
million. $1.5, $2 million. Okay. Yeah, that seemed like a pretty big ring to me. So, like, if a normal guy, makes $50,000 a year, he spends $5,000 to $10,000 on a wedding ring, right? Most of them.
Okay.
So you got to think Cena spent $2 million on his ring.
So
he makes $10 million a year.
Here it is, according to the Hollywood Life blog posted last.
Oh, you have this. Okay.
John Cena's ring is $800,000.
$800,000 ring. We have the exact number. $800,000.
According to this blog, it's the only one as I'm looking for John Cena's ring. And it's huge. I'm looking at this again. And wow. Okay. That's cool.
That's a lot of money.
So that's a lot of money. So yeah, maybe I overshot, but that's okay.
About $1,800,000 they're close.
Yeah, right. So
maybe it was shoot 800,000, but they said 1 million. How about that?
Exactly. Yeah, that's probably what it is. It is a
WWE. That was an attendance joke.
It is. How about Seth Rollins and Triple H? It's difficult when you have the storyline revolving around a broken wheel like Seth Rollins and his knee issues. You can't really speed up that match, and then Triple H with his kind of quasi biker entrance. We talk about WrestleMania moments in recent years. We talk about, we've talked about the Tank with Rusev was a great entrance. You talk about CM Punk's entrance. You talk about Triple H's Terminator entrance. I was really surprised at this WrestleMania. The entrances kind of sucked all the way around. You had Sasha Banks coming out in the gangster car. I get that. That's cool. Whatever. You had Triple H coming out in a tricycle. With a fake biker chick, Stephanie McMahon, wearing hot pants.
Excuse me, Aljon, that's a trike. It's not a tricycle, and that's a little kid rides a tricycle. That's a trike. All right, you're using the wrong terminology.
I am.
And he had some like bike, and then he had, and then to really up the ante of being a biker, he had like some biker slut on the back.
Yeah.
Did you see that? She had leather pants on, and she was in her 40s. Oh, wait, that was Stephanie McMahon, wasn't it? Okay.
Actually, it's the best hair she's ever had, actually, I think.
Best hair she's ever had? Well, I'll have to watch that back. Yeah. I was distracted by her crazy shit, as usual.
Well, this is where WrestleMania started taking a dive for me, and I was getting worried because it was hard for me to get into this match because of just the lack of, action and... at least in my or lack of speed, I guess I should say, you work that body part, that knee of Seth Rollins, and then where do you go from there? It's already, he's already at 50%, with the doctors not clearing him, this is a not sanctioned match. And of course, apparently the doctors thought to sanction him on Monday night. So he was able to perform, which is still ponderous.
Yeah.
But,
here's my, I just don't think he sold the knee right. And listen, I've realized this now. I'm so smart. I evolve just like Bockwinkel said. As I move along and proceed, because I see now that everything in wrestling is selling. Everything in wrestling is selling. My favorite match this year is Okada versus Minoru Suzuki. Okada sold so good the whole match. And Minoru Suzuki is a frightening gent. That it was just unbelievable how good the match was. I thought it was better than Omega Okada. And then I saw Nakamura live in person, just right in front of my bear. And he sold, oh my God, he was so amazing at selling. Now, why can Rollins run every now and then? That doesn't make sense. So why doesn't he say, hey guys, I took a big whole dose of oxycodone in my knee, and I can run for this match. That's logical. But to sell it and then not sell it, to sell it and then on a big move run, I don't like that. And that's something they've gotten Nakamura into the habit of doing, which annoys me. Like, whatever you want, boss. It kind of seems to be his attitude now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to talk about him in the SmackDown thing, but let's not try not to forget. But, yeah, I just didn't like it. It was an okay match. I had more fun watching Triple H at Lemmy's funeral. I watched that on YouTube in his eulogy section than watching this. I just wasn't feeling the angle. I guess the fire thing with the torch was kind of cool. Actually, when he came out with the torch, I was like, oh my God, it's like Mr. Pogo. He's going to start shooting fireballs at him.
Yeah, right.
But unfortunately, that's not what happened. And it was a long-ass match, and the psychology was pretty good. Triple H is a good psychology guy. He's on it. Rollins is pretty... I don't know what they're trying to turn Rollins into. I mean, Rollins is like a Ring of Honor champion. Like, he's one of the best Ring of Honor champions I've ever seen. Maybe the best. Samoa Joe, so I don't know. And by the way, no Samoa Joe in this card? Blow me.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally. Totally. Yeah, I started to lose more steam. Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt as Randy defeats Bray for the championship, the WWE championship. Once again, just a weird, with Randy blowing up, burning down Bray's house and the whole maggots and the teleportation thing. Yeah, this one you think teleportation
was
only, just left to the Hardys. Now, apparently, we have Bray Wyatt that also is a master of teleportation, but I just
makes sense.
I just remember Tuesday SmackDown Live, but I'm not. Whatever. It is what it is. Randy's a great talent. Bray is an underutilized talent to a lot of ways, but I'm tired of the shtick. I'm tired of both of their. Randy's kind of monotone delivery. I'm tired of Bray Wyatt's shtick. It doesn't make any sense to me. This whole thing was just contrived, and it just didn't make any sense.
I thought it would have been a really fun idea if the crowd would have chanted, one-star match, one-star match. Wouldn't that be cute? I mean, this was like Randy doesn't take any chances. A lot of workers have said that. Yep. And then Bray just is – I don't know if he's – okay, I'm going to go ahead and – this ought to make Nixon upset because he's a huge – Wyatt fan, but, you know, gee, I think Bray Wyatt kind of sucks as a main eventer. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. His act is wearing thin. I've said this before. He's not a scary swamp person. I'll let you know when I... You know what, Al John? He sings for a band called Witch Burial. Go check them out on YouTube. Now, that is a very, very scary swamp person. Okay? My cousin Jared Benoit. There's a plug for you. And I love my cousin's music.
You know, but
Bray Wyatt is not scary. Okay?
He's not scary. He's not scary. He spends too much time laughing for no reason. There's nothing behind the maniacal laugh. What type of, you know, sadistic thing is he going to do next? It's just, I don't know. Hopefully they can rehab these characters. Let's move on.
Cousin, I miss you.
In a very interesting turn of events, Goldberg and Lesnar actually had a longer match, maybe around 9-10 minutes for this.
I like that match.
Lesnar defeated Goldberg.
Let's go with 4.
For the Universal Championship. Okay. Yeah. And how about them apples?
I thought that was fantastic. That match was great. That was great. He wrestled 9 total minutes in his 4 matches, as you call them, Goldberg did, making Goldberg officially the smartest man in wrestling. I thought the match was great. I thought the angles were all great. I thought it was great to see Goldberg again. I love Goldberg's babyface promos. I like Goldberg's wife. I like Brock Lesnar being willing to do all this. I think it's all good. I thought that was terrific.
I like Goldberg's son taking a bump, leaving the ring on Monday Night Raw. I thought that was great.
Yeah, take a bump, kid. Why not? Yeah, be like your dad and take a bump once a year.
Yeah. Goldberg on Monday Night had said, oh, look, my son's taking one more bump than I did my entire career. Good stuff. Good stuff.
I know. I mean, he's, yeah, I would applaud Goldberg for coming back and getting in that kind of shape. He looked great. And Brock Lesnar is the champ again. That is exciting for me as a mark. Okay, I want to see Brock Lesnar be the champ. Brock Lesnar as a champ was when I was starting to like the product again. That's the only reason we started doing the podcast, because I had stopped watching the show. You know, I thought, boy, this show sucks.
All right.
You know? 2011 to 13 sucks. Sorry, guys.
And to keep the momentum up, you know, they placed the women in the hardest spot in the entire card to follow Brock right before Undertaker. And Naomi defeated Bliss and Lynch, Natalya, Mickey James, Carmella for the SmackDown Women's Championship. You know, not bad once again. I mean, they did what they needed to do. Naomi got her WrestleMania moment, the hometown girl from Orlando, Florida, feeling the glow. Great, you know, to see that entrance, I guess, or in the evening. I thought it was fine.
Hometown girl. She's from Orlando, right?
Yes.
Well, you know what? They book SmackDown women a lot better than the Raw women, and obviously the Raw has the best talent. Jack's working with those 3 girls will get better, by the way. But on to the other show, I think, you know, it's cool that they've given Naomi so many shots. It's cool that Becky Lynch has a show she can be babyface champion, and even though I really dislike Alexa Bliss, and I don't understand that character, I guess that's supposed to be sexy to people, right?
She's a sassy witch, is what she is.
She's a witch? She's a what?
She's a sassy witch, is what she is.
Sassy witch, okay.
She's a bitch.
I'm not a witch! that was a Monty Python joke. I thought it was, you know, they got him in the dead spot, but it was good booking. Give Naomi a win in Orlando, why not? But it was a dead spot match. It was like, hey, just go out there for a little bit while we get ready for this Undertaker.
Well, just remember a couple years ago, if it wasn't for that knee that knee in her orbital socket, you know, from that Russian chick. I'm trying to remember what that diva was. It was, she got that orbital bone injury, and then she was primed to be the women's champion before the women's championship, be probably the last diva's champion at that point. But it's all good now. But let's wrap things up with Roman Reigns defeating The Undertaker. He is it's his yard now, apparently, according to his promo on Monday night.
What a booing.
Talk about a huge pop crowd. I mean, they just totally booed Roman out of the building, practically, against The Undertaker anyway. But it got even worse after he defeated The Undertaker in what I call the Old Yeller match. This was hard to watch and uncomfortable at times, but at the
end of the day, Old Yeller match. I mean, the one Old Yeller match is the Ric Flair match. You can only have one Old Yeller match.
Well, that was an Old Yeller match, but don't you think this was... Everybody likens this to the old Gunfighter thing where he couldn't, you know, do this anymore, and he just, you know, talking about selling, Undertaker was selling to the best of his ability, you know, trying to do the Undertaker, I'm the Undertaker, I'm rising up again, and all of a sudden, you know, just falling up to his side, and Roman Reigns looking at him going, why don't you please stay down, stay down, stay down. And of course it just, Roman Reigns went back to his move several times, you know, and it was uncomfortably long, but I understand why, especially in retrospect.
It was uncomfortably long, and it kind of was awkward in spots.
Yeah.
You know, they have a hell of a baby face there with Roman, because I didn't say this on the other show, that, you know, when they show your fake grave on the screen and the crowd cheers, baby face, you know, they don't like you. I mean, my God, you can imagine they would show like Dusty Rhodes' grave and Florida Championship. I mean, they would boo him out the bell. I mean, they wouldn't cheer.
Right.
You know, I mean, or Hulk Hogan's grave, boo, right? Okay. Yeah, the match was whatever it was, standard fare. It's probably as good as he could have done. I thought he did a little better than I thought he would do, actually.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was fine. But the ending was the whole thing. This whole card had the similar, you know, idea of like, okay, the match is there, but what's happening are the special moments. And I thought they had a lot of special moments. And it was the right way to end the show. And Jim Ross being there was really special. And it was a really nice ending. You know, every now and then, kind of like Christmas Skeletor, every now and then, once a year, Vince McMahon will do something good.
There you go. There you go.
Christmas Skeletor. Look it up.
Outstanding
baby face, by the way.
Let's talk about the WWE Hall of Fame that too took place, and we all believe that WrestleMania 33 was a great, you know, great show with great moments. It definitely has a buy for me and Steven. But you weren't necessarily high on the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony. I found myself smiling on several different occasions. Obviously, DDP, Kurt Angle. Believe it or not, even the Beth Phoenix, I thought that was a pretty good thing. Ravishing Rick Rude's son accepting his award and doing a couple quotes from him was good. Teddy Long's story was great. Rock and Roll Express, even them at the very end, you know, I thought was very good. So I was actually liking this Hall of Fame, and I like the length. You know, it wasn't, you know, it could have been a little bit shorter as it should have been.
Perhaps.
Eric LeGrand kind of, you know, who got the Warrior Award, I think is a great story. I think he was a little long-winded, but that's okay. What are your thoughts on the whole
thing? Oh, don't put that. Sorry about it. It was too long. They're starting to run out of people. The crowd didn't have any respect, and that's what I didn't appreciate about it.
Okay,
they didn't know who the Rock and Roll.
In what way?
Well, like the Rock and Roll Express, like they didn't really know who they were. You know, and it really made me mad. You know, and they weren't real receptive to a lot of the guys. They liked Angle a lot, which was cool. Let's talk about Angle. Angle deserved this. To see the smile on Angle's face on that and becoming the GM was nice. I think he may have defeated his demons. It's sad what happens to him, an Olympian that becomes street people. At the end of the day, we're all prey to the poisons of the earth. Mm. I sound like Jake there. But, you know, I think Kurt really was like coming. Thank you. It was all like Jake had the best Hall of Fame speech, because they go, "You still got it." And he goes, "No, but I can't have it."
Yeah,
which was dark.
That's the best.
Then they're trying to cheer for him, but he doesn't care because he's going to be Jake. And then I think he brought out a handicapped infant or something. Didn't that happen? Now that's a Hall of Fame. Okay. Ultimate Warrior almost dying of a heart attack. He put it off till a couple of days later. I mean, he literally Hall of Fame has been special. Hey, I love the Warrior. You know, let me say something about the Warrior. Because talking about the Warrior Award, we're talking about the Hall of Fame. See, I'm trying to pretend like I'm not going on a tangent.
That's all right.
The Warrior Award. The Warrior Award. That's what I'm talking about. Here's the deal, brother. Okay? Warrior. He's just silly. He cut silly promos. He didn't wrestle good. And the internet people, he wasn't a good wrestler. We make fun. All they talk about is him. All they do is talk about the Ultimate Warrior. Everybody talks about him all the time. He hasn't wrestled in 50,000 years. That's how good he was at promos. Sorry, you know.
Talking
he's a
moments.
Legend. It's
yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's interesting, though, that that someone that had been so critical of the WWE has been enshrined with an award representing for what he did in spirit, but not what he did necessarily as a person. So that's a little ponderous as well, but that's okay.
But look, the ultimate warrior took the Dalton Warrior is a man for who he is. He does what he wants to do, and that's who he was. They didn't like that, fine. But what the Ultimate Warrior did is he took Vince McMahon to court and he won. Yeah. And you don't fucking do that to him. Okay, now he didn't like that at all. That was the issue. That's what kept him. Triple H is tremendous at bridging these gaps. I'll give him credit. But, you know, at a certain point, he's going to have to decide who he is, too. He's your heel on the main roster. But obviously, they need him. I mean, my God, they need him on the show. Yeah?
Well, I thought it was good. It is what I thought, and giving Cornette a live microphone, he was very respectful, and I love seeing the Rock and Roll come out, and they talked about the Midnight as well. I thought those were great, talked a little bit about the Freebirds. So it was a really good little bit of a history lesson, and the fact that some of the newer fans did not know who Rock and Roll was, hopefully they'll get a chance to go back and check out who Rock and Roll was. With the addition of some of the classic content and going back and researching some of these folks, even DDP, you know, was great. And look, I understand they have Beth Phoenix in there. I always question that as an interesting choice considering the other women that were there, but I think they wanted to get someone that was a little bit newer to get to the other fans in there. And I get that.
Right. You know, it's a generation thing. I mean, that's what's making me upset. It's generationally, they don't know some of these people and some they do.
Yeah.
The crowd,
yeah.
I mean.
And, you know, and that's okay because, you know, we're going to see who goes in next year. It will be interesting to see who does. At the end of the day, I was entertained. Just really quick. NXT TakeOver also happened. Very interesting stuff. I mean, you've got Ty Dillinger making his way back up making his way into the main roster on Tuesday. Right. That eight-person tag, you got the Cassius Ohno was in there along with Roderick Strong, Ty Dillinger, Ruby Riott, Cassius Ohno, Sanity in there was, you know, it was just an interesting thing, but it's hard for me to just go through and name all these different matches. But I'll just say that the Revival.
Yeah, don't do that.
The Revival was awesome. As they all
Revival was awesome. Asuka's awesome. Asuka's awesome.
Asuka was great.
The main event. I mean, that's kind of their pattern, though, don't you find?
What's that?
Their pattern is, you know, Asuka's awesome. The Revival match is awesome. They're not going to be able to do that anymore. And then the main event is awesome. So I don't know what they're going to do after this. But once again, I enjoyed NXT. And that's what's important.
Yeah. Yeah. And Drew McIntyre was there too. So go figure. I think having people, you know, like a Roderick Strong, they're like a Bobby Roode, Ember Moon. Those people are going to help, you know, try to carry the torch for the brand. But I don't know if anyone's going to put butts in seats like a Shinsuke Nakamura. That's, you know, but once again, NXT is supposed to be that type of brand where they're cultivating talent. So hopefully we'll be able to see what happens next. You know, they had the call-ups.
I guess, but it's silly because Bobby Roode should be on SmackDown or Raw helping out. He's very good. I know. Yeah. I mean, this NXT thing's kind of getting to be stupid and silly.
Yeah,
you know, well, and I want to see Chris Hero have. I'd rather see Chris Hero on the Indies. I get it. You know, they're gonna. I don't know. Character Tommy Ince playing is pretty cool. Was it Aleister Black? Mm-hmm. Aleister Crowley plus. That was interesting. He's a very good wrestler. I'm glad to see them all working, and but they probably get paid less actually doing that than Indies. But yeah, I was more excited to see the call ups, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Ty Dillinger made his main roster debut, I believe, on SmackDown. You had Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown. You had The Revival come out on Raw. Who else am I missing here? Of course, the Hardys came back. I'm trying to think of who else I'm missing. But
You might see Asuka. There's possible you could see Asuka go up at some point. Obviously, she hasn't lost the belt yet, but you could see that happen at some point.
Well, I never thought that was possible. We have SummerSlam. Well, we have SummerSlam, and there's also the draft. Now, this Superstar Shakeup is not a draft, apparently, but it's going to take place over Monday and Tuesday night shows. So we'll see how that works out. I think there's definitely a lot of the feuds have kind of come to a close. There are superstars, as you'd mentioned, Cena leaving. Probably Nikki Bella is going to be gone for a little bit too. So there's going to be spaces, and Chris Jericho. So there's spaces in the roster that need to be filled. And it's good to see what's going to happen, and let's see if Shinsuke decides to turn it up a notch and do some things that he did in New Japan finally on the big stage.
I don't think he will, but I would say I have a good idea for an angle. The Miz should say, "You come out here, you're dancing, you got your violin player with you," and then Nakamura should say, "That's my friend who plays violin." You see? You get it? That's pretty good, huh? That's I should be a writer.
You should be.
That'll pop the crowd.
There you go.
That'll I'm a little too deep for their storylines. Yeah. And by the way, AJ's... I heard... leave me alone. I hear AJ's going to go to Raw as a babyface.
That's what I hear, too.
That's a tremendous idea.
I wonder if they will reunite the club in some form, which they never should have broken up. You know,
the what?
The club, but I guess he's going to be a baby.
What is that?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. We'll see what happens in the coming weeks. What say you, audience? Feel free to let us know. Send us an email, prowrestlingcast@gmail.com. You can even hit us up on social media, prwrestlingcast on Twitter, also on Facebook. Like and subscribe to this program on YouTube as well as iTunes. We'd appreciate those 5-star reviews and give us those thumbs up on those videos, will you? We would appreciate that. You can write Steven, of course, using those emails.
You can write me a letter. Yeah.
Write me a letter. Write him a letter. He'll appreciate that. He will. And Stephen, any parting thoughts?
I've watched a lot of the Shibata Okada match while we were filming this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fucking shit. It's awesome. I stopped watching it because I just had it in the corner of my eye, but I thought I need to actually hear them in Japanese, but I'm thinking it might be 6 stars.
6 stars. All right, Dave Meltzer. I'll do that. Hey, Nick Bockwinkel mentioned in this episode. Don't forget to tuck your head, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Upturned recalcitrance.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.